Now let's back up just a little bit. Let's come to Mark 5 and let's see that a person can have faith and belief without the Spirit of God, but this is not necessarily a faith unto salvation. Mark 5, let's pick it up here in verse 24. Mark 5 and verse 24. And he departed with him, and a great multitude followed him, pressing around him. Then a certain woman who had been afflicted with an issue of blood for 12 years, and had suffered greatly under the hand of many physicians, and had spent all that she had. This sounds kind of like modern medicine, doesn't it? You know, nothing has changed through the years. And she was not benefited in any way, but rather was getting worse. And when she heard about Jesus, came into the multitude behind him and touched his garment. For she said, now here's her belief, if I can only touch his garments, I shall be cured. So this is the belief that we can have with the Spirit of man, without the Spirit of God. The true belief for conversion, then, is a combining of the Spirit of God with the Spirit of man. And that brings us the true belief, the true faith, and the true hope. Verse 29, and at once the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she knew in her body that she had been healed from the scourge. Now Jesus knew immediately within himself that power had gone out of him, and turning in the crowd, he said, who touched my garments? But the disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and you ask, who touched me? Then he looked around to see who had done this, and the woman, frightened and trembling, knowing what had been done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has cured you. Go in peace and be whole from your scourge. Now this is for physical healing. This is not unto salvation. Now let's talk about the kind of faith which will lead not only to doing miracles like that, let's come here to Mark 11, but also to do things beyond that, because the greatest miracle of all is the belief unto receiving the Holy Spirit after you have repented and been baptized, so that you have faith unto salvation. And that faith produces the works that God wants you to do. Right? Mark 11. Now, this is after the disciples saw Jesus curse the tree, the fig tree, after he left the temple. Verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Then Peter remembered and said to him, look, master, the fig tree that you cursed has dried up. Verse 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith from God. Now the Greek is even stronger. It says, have the faith of God. But it really means the faith that comes from God to you. And of course, that's with the Spirit of God. And that kind of faith is part of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love and joy and peace and faith. Verse 23 now. For truly I say to you, whoever shall say to this mountain, be taken away and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. And you see, that's the thing that we need to always work on consistently, because our human nature is there to say, well, now, but. Just like when you know you have to do something and you don't do it, same way with faith. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Now notice again, faith comes from belief. Belief starts the process, and shall believe that what he has said will take place, he shall have whatever he shall say. Now, of course, then he gives a condition here. What are some of the conditions that we know? Number one, when we pray, we say, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your will be done. Okay? That is a condition. On earth as it is in heaven. Okay? But notice what else he says here. Verse 25. But when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive, so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your offenses. And this is a powerful thing for us to understand. This is a key to growing in faith and a key to answered prayer. And a key to right standing with God. We come to God and say, Oh God, forgive me for all of my sins. God says, Okay, I forgive you. But that guy down there, I'll never forgive him. It's like I heard in one independent group. The elder said, Well, I'd like some of you men who've been in the church a long time to give a sermonette from time to time. Boy, after services, some of the brethren came up and said, If he speaks, I'm walking out of here. Someone else said, Well, if he speaks, I'm out of here too. And I couldn't help but think of this. Now, do you say you're brethren? Do you say you love God? Do you pray to God every day? Do you want your sins forgiven? Can you settle the matter? That's what you need to ask. Because Jesus said this. Verse 26. For if you do not forgive, condition, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you your offenses. Now we read of that in several other locations too, don't we? Yes, indeed. So we need to keep this in mind. Someone will say, Well, if they come and ask me to forgive, then I'll forgive. Well, Jesus didn't do that when he was hanging there being crucified. The first thing he said is, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Isn't that true? Yes. What if they never come to you? Are you going to hold that grudge forever? What if you never go to them and say, Hey, perhaps maybe we have a little misunderstanding. Can we talk about it? And you might be surprised how it may work out. That's important. So if you want the faith that comes from God, Jesus told us right here the condition to receive it. All right, now let's tie this in a little more with belief. Let's come to John, the 8th chapter, to show that you can have a beginning belief, but if you're not willing to act upon it, that's as far as it will go. John 8, let's pick it up here, verse 30, John 8, verse 30. And as he spoke these things, many believed in him. But let's also notice what Jesus said. Therefore, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him. So belief is a start, is it not? Yes. But notice there's a condition. If, I don't know, one of these days I'm going to go through and have every if in the Bible capitalized. That may prove a point. If you continue in my word. Now that says an awful lot, doesn't it? Did we just read what he said back there in Mark? The 11th chapter? Yes, indeed. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. See? So belief requires action. Notice the result. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But that's almost identical to where we began in Psalm 111, isn't it? Now, let's take the opposite of this. Verse 31. If you do not continue in my word, you truly are not my disciples. And you shall not know the truth, and the truth, which you shall not know, will not set you free. See? That's the power of if. Well, of course, you know the rest of the story. They said, well, we haven't been in bondage to anyone. So verse 34, Jesus answered them. After they said, well, what do you mean, we'd be free? Verse 34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a servant of sin. Now, what does this also tell us? Then there has to be repentance and change, doesn't it? This also tells us that we have to quit sinning, doesn't it? Yes, because it'll be according to our work. As we go back to what James said, you show me your faith by your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So if you do not have the faith you need to have toward God, but you have faith in what you are doing, your works are going to be sin, correct? If you have faith in God and doing what he says, you're going to be living so you're not living in sin. Yes, we do sin because we have human nature. That's why we repent every day, because God is changing our minds, converting our minds, writing his laws and his commandments in our heart and in our minds so that we become converted. Verse 35, and the servant does not live in the house forever, but the son lives forever. Therefore, if, condition again, the son sets you free, you shall truly be free. Then he got into the argument, and Jesus accused them of being of their father, the devil. Now, isn't that interesting? You stop and think about it. Here were the Jews who heard him speak and believed in him, yet were not willing to continue in his, what he was teaching in his word. We're not willing to repent. We're not willing to follow him. We're not willing to continue in it, but they were the glad handers there. Right? He said, you are of your father, the devil. So this is why the churches of God are purged from time to time by God himself. Let's pick it up here in verse 44. Let's see where he said this. This is something. Now, this is what is so difficult with the world's professing Christians. When they hear they're not really of God, but are of Satan, the devil, they get all angry. Now, here's what Jesus is saying. Now, notice, where did this occur? This occurred at the temple. See? And remember, as we pointed out, where was Satan, the devil, on Passover night? Right at the beginning of the Passover, right? Yes. Until Jesus gave Judas the sop, and Satan entered into him and left. Verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you desire to practice. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he's speaking from his own self, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. See, so a person can have belief to a certain extent, either for good, like the woman who was healed of her 12-year affliction of flowing blood, or that you reject God altogether because you're not willing to follow through and do what you need to do. So that's really quite profound when we understand it. All right, now let's come to John 14. So why don't you do this? See if you can read through the whole book of John while we turn to John 14. read through the whole book of John, and note all the ifs, all the mays, which is conditional, and all the belief, the one who believes, etc., all the way through. And you will see that the whole Gospel of John is really the groundwork for showing the true belief. John 14, verse 1. Here's what he told his disciples. Passover night. And this is what we need to also let rule in our lives, because we're going to go through some traumatic things, aren't we? They're just around the corner. That night, the disciples were, Jesus knew it was going to get real rough. So here, John 14 and verse 1, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Don't be troubled at the problems that are coming. The physical problems that are coming, do your best to prepare with whatever means you're able to do it. Let God bless you in that. And remember this, all the prophecies of the end time are going to happen. All the political movements, all of the religious movements are not going to stop it. If there is enough repentance by the Israelites in America, God may push it off a little. But at this point, at this time, that's the best we can hope for. And I know there are many of you out there who watch Glenn Beck. And he said this past week, the Republic is gone because of the things that have been passed by the Congress and signed by the President. And remember, he is there because God put him there because of our sins as a people. And likewise, we can look at it and say, and the Church of God is in not too great a shape itself either, right? So we need to be honest there as well. So don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then he said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would have told you I'm going to prepare a place for you. Just like I pointed out last week. When the difficult times come, keep your focus on God. Keep your focus on our purpose, on our calling, where we are going. Do not get sidetracked by any of the things going on in the world. We have to be strong in God, believing in Christ. He said he was going, he's coming back. And remember here, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we need to believe in, have faith in, and walk in. See, the way is the way to walk. The truth is what our lives need to be about. And the life is eternal life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And carry that out to New Jerusalem. No one is going to see God the Father face to face unless it's through Christ. See? Now, let's come down here to verse 10 after they had a hard time figuring out who the Father was. Verse 10. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? After all this time, here it is. The last time he's going to speak to them in the flesh. Now, he spoke to them after he was resurrected and returned and was there 40 days and 40 nights. And many of the things that we have here in John 18, 19, and 20, Jesus had to tell them at that time. So there was a lot of teaching going on during that 40 days and 40 nights and prepared them for writing the Gospels. Continuing now, verse 10, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak from my own self, but the Father himself who dwells in me does the works. Now again, we're going to look at works and belief. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, but if not, believe me because of the works themselves. And of course, when you look back, they had that full 3.5 years to see everything that Jesus did. Now notice, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me shall also do the works that I do. And that they did. And greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going to the Father. And yes, the apostles did that. And remember there in Acts the 6th chapter that the gospel was multiplying so much. There were thousands and thousands of believers. And the apostles were performing the miracles of healing, so much so that they brought the sick from everywhere, laid them in the street, that if by the shadow of Peter passing by, they were healed. That was a greater work than what Jesus did. Now, how that fits into the end time and what we're going to do, I don't know. But we're not going to jump up and down and say, oh God, you've got to give us this. You said you would. No, we have to humble ourselves and love God and serve him, have faith in him, and let God do through us what he wants to be done. But nevertheless, verse 13, whatever you shall ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Qualification. Again, if you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. Then he tells how they are going to receive the Holy Spirit. So we need to keep all of that in mind. Now come here to John 16. Read everything else in between. And see, then you go from belief and faith to hope to love. And all of those are the three greatest. Now, John 16 and verse 31. Oh, let's go back. Yeah, verse 31. Jesus answered them, do you now believe after he told them all these things? He said, listen, verse 32. The time is coming and has already come that you shall be scattered each to his own. And boy, if that doesn't describe the church of God today, I don't know. Okay? And you shall leave me alone. It was particularly to them at that time because of the events which were going to happen very shortly. And yet I am not alone, but because the Father is with me. These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. That's why it is so important in the time of trouble and stress and duress to have faith, to have belief, to have hope, because that is what is going to carry you through. That's going to give you the courage to do the things you need to do when you see things that are falling apart. That'll give you the courage to stand for the truth when it comes time to stand for the truth, because that day is going to come. Notice, here's a guarantee, verse 33. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Now, that's not very comforting, is it? No. I have to say, we've gone through a lot of that already, haven't we? Yes. Not as the great tribulation is going to be, but nevertheless, he says, but be courageous. Have courage in the face of all the things that are going to come. And that comes through belief. And that comes through faith. And that comes through hope, because here's the promise. The last sentence there in verse 33. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. And how did he overcome the world? By dying and being resurrected. And who controls the world? Satan, the devil. Okay. Now let's talk a little bit about faith and hope and so forth. Let's come to Romans, the 5th chapter. Let's see how this works. And let's see how that we have an opportunity. Now, I remember we first got married. Doris and I looked at each other, and we think about this quite often. We thought, isn't it wonderful? We're not going to get old. Because we thought, hey, we should have been in the place of safety 35 years ago, already in the kingdom of God. Little did we know that there is a whole lot more to go on. Okay? So here we are. And we're getting old. And so is the church. And one of the prayers to pray is this, that God will give us all the churches of God, the understanding and the kind of message that is necessary to reach down into those who are younger than we are, because there must be another generation after us. As I pointed out recently, with the coming one world currency, there's a lot that has to be done in prophecy. Because remember this, beware of false alarms. Things will go along and it will look like, yes, the end is near. I remember in 1969, remember all the riots and burning down of the cities? You know, we thought, oh, look, the end is here. The cities are on fire. Yes, it's right. Yes, 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 yes. And then what happened? Didn't happen. They got things squared around a little bit. And we thought that we were going to a place of safety in 1972. And still a lot of people have their heart set on going to a place of safety. But what you have to do is this. You have to ask the question, what are you going to do if you die before the time God takes some to a place of safety? And what are you going to do if you think you're going to go and you're not chosen? What are you going to do then? And don't believe anybody who says, I've got the ticket to Petra. We've got it all worked out with the King of Jordan. I hear you can buy it. Only cost you $2,500. How's that? Okay. Reminds me when I was just got out of boot camp on my way over to Korea, and here comes this, you know, we're in the barracks out there at Pittsburgh, California, getting ready to ship over to Korea. And he came up and he had all these stripes, you know, all these and medals and everything, and he came up to me, you know, wide-eyed, you know, 16 weeks out of recruit, well, maybe by that time, 24 weeks, 6 months out. And it shows you a false belief and a false hope. He came up and said, I work in the personnel department, and I make out the orders where all of you are going to go. Really? Did you know that Hawaii is also included in the Far East Command? Is that right? Yes. Well, for $25, I can get your name to go to Hawaii. Get your orders there. Really? Well, closest I got to Hawaii was on the troop ship 700 miles north as we were on the way to Japan. And at that time, I really knew I had been had. See? So that's misplaced belief. I also looked for him, but I couldn't find him. I wonder how much money he got off all those young recruits expecting to go over to Hawaii. I bet that night, because it was the night we had out, that he went over to San Francisco and had a high time on the town on us. All right. Now, let's come over here to Romans 4. We'll back it up here a little bit. Romans 4 and verse 17. Nope, verse 16. Because this all ties together and works out and shows us. Thank you for pause buttons. Verse 16. For this reason it is of faith, in order that it might be by grace. But remember, faith requires obedience. To the end that the promise might be certain to all the seed, not to the one who is of the law only, but also to the one who is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Exactly as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls the things that are not as though they are, and who, against hope, believed in hope, because he obeyed, and he understood God. So regardless of what may come your way, always keep that hope in front of you and believe in hope. You see how they're associated together, not only in their meaning, but also in their spelling in the Greek. In order that he might become a father of many nations, according as that which was spoken to him, so shall your seed be. And he, not being weak in the faith, considered not his own body. Now, you've got to have a lot of faith if you're 100 years old and your wife is 90, and God says you're going to have a son from your own loins. He laughed in Genesis 17, and Sarah laughed in Genesis 21. Go into any rest home and say, all right, all you gals, come over here. Yep. In spite of your age and your false teeth and your glasses and all of your artificial things that you have, you are going to get pregnant. See? Okay. The question is, where is that man? Okay? So you see, God did the impossible, but you have to believe. Now think about this. When you start thinking about that there are things that are impossible, do the dot test. I've asked you to do this many times. See that dot? On a piece of paper? Go ahead and try and make it, you know, just wiggle around a little bit, make it a little bigger. That's what you were when you were conceived. Now look at you. Okay? If you're young and strong and handsome or beautiful, you think, oh boy, this is great. Wait until you're old and gray and dilapidated and falling apart. But still, nevertheless, that's where you came from. Right? So if God is able to do that, why can't we believe and trust him in everything, right? Okay. But he, not being weak in the faith, considered not his own body, already having become dead, being about 100 years old, nor did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb, and he did not doubt the promise of God through unbelief. Rather, he was strengthened in the faith, giving glory to God. Said, okay, God, you said so, it will be. For he was fully persuaded that what God has promised, he is also able to do. Notice present tense. Able means he has the power to do. As a result, it was imputed to him for righteousness. But it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Rather, it was also written for our sakes, to whom it shall be imputed, to those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So that's where it all goes back. Back to God the Father. Back to Jesus Christ. Back to living faith. Back to living belief. Doing the things that God expects us to do. Then he brings this out. Who was delivered for our offenses. Yes, he was the one who bore our sins and died for them. and was raised for our justification. He had to be raised from the dead in order then that God could apply that sacrifice to those who believe. Because it wasn't just his death, it was also his resurrection. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, now he talks about what we need to do, how we need to do it. Remember what Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, or be courageous, I have overcome the world. Here's then is how we have the courage. Verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Notice, belief, faith, Verse 2, and we ourselves boast in the hope of the glory of God. See, that's why we have the Spirit of God. That's why we have the Sabbath services. That's why we hear the words of God, so we can obey His voice. Not only this, we boast in tribulations. You know, buck up, be ready, you know. I don't think any of us are going to stand on the front porch and say, Hallelujah, I got a big trial today. No. But we understand that these things come for a specific purpose, realizing that tribulation brings forth endurance. What did Jesus say? The one who endures to the end, the same shall be saved, right? Notice what endurance does. This is why we go through these things. And endurance brings forth character. But isn't that the whole name of the game? The character of God. The love of God. The hope of God. The faith of God. The mercy, the kindness, the goodness, the forgiveness. Right? And the hope of God never makes us ashamed, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit which has been given to us. So that's what we need to keep in mind. Okay? So it begins with belief, and that grows to faith, and that grows to hope. Now let's close with just a couple of verses here in Romans 15. Romans 15. Let's pick it up here in verse 13. Verse 13. May the God of hope fill you now with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Spirit. So this one verse sums everything up, doesn't it? Puts it all together. Shows what we need for today. So let's increase our faith, our belief, and our hope.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.